Good afternoon, Marv Rabosai. My name is Michael Talbis, and I was given the schus by Rabbi Krimsky to introduce our final Magid Shir for today's program, Rabbi Pershel Shechter Shlita. But before I do, I'd just like to speak on behalf, I think, of everybody here in extending an expression of Hakaras HaTov to Rabbi Eli Krimsky and to the staff that he supervises for putting together today's program in terms of getting the Magid Shir and to putting together the booklets with the Mar Makomos and taking care of all the other technical arrangements that had to be done to be able to put together the program today. And we're very grateful to Rabbi Krimsky. I think the topic was his idea and the implementation was all his, and we're grateful to him, and we look forward, Bez Hashem, to more such programs and days of learning in the Shiurim Bez Hashem in the future. People in the room who are, I guess, my age maybe and a little bit older may recall that the Rav Zichron Levracha used to say rather regularly that one cannot compare the Yontif observed by somebody who had the opportunity and took the time in advance of Yontif to learn through all the dinim and all the halachas before the Yontif to the Yontif observed by somebody who came in, quote-unquote, cold, and did not take the opportunity to learn up all the dinim and go through the halachas beforehand. Just a total qualitative difference between the yontif. So I think that by extension, we could probably just say the same thing about Shemitah, this coming year, of course, being Shemitah year. So we've had the opportunity today to go over certain dinim and certain halachas relating to Shemitah so that our own observance of Shemitah personally, and in terms of guiding people who turn to us for guidance in our shuls and Talmidim and so on, we'll be able to have a similarly enhanced observance of Shemitah. The final shir is really a shir in Halacha Lemaisa, as it relates to, I guess most of us here will be in this country during the course of the Shemitah year next year, so there are many dinim that apply to those who are in Chutz Laaretz, and that's really Rav Shechter's topic, Halacha Lemaisa, the Jew in diaspora during the Shemitah year. And certainly in our yeshiva, there's no one more appropriate or qualified to share with us insights in terms of Halacha Lemaisa and Psak Halacha on in Yonav the Nogea to us than Rav Shechter. Many of us have heard many, many shiurim from him in the past, Halacha Lemaisa topics and other topics. So I was just reminiscing with somebody, many of us right here in this Beis Medrash, which used to be the Kolo Beis Medrash, and we're quite sure that today's presentation as well will be very, very informative and very nogea to us, Halacha Lemaisa, as we continue to prepare for Shemitah. Without any further delay, it's my great kavod to introduce my Rabbi Harav Hershel Shechter Shlita.
When you look in the Chosha Mishpat, the beginning of Simon Samach Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch writes, the first of the Mar Mekoymus, the Pashtus is that there is a Machlokes HaTanoim quoted in the Sifra, in the beginning of Parshas Bahar, the Pesukim say every seventh year is Shemitah, and after seven times seven, the 50th year is Yovel, and these are two different Parshios. It's all in Parshas Bahar, the same Sedra, but there's a stuma, I think, in between. The two different parshas in the Sefer Torah. So the question is whether the observance of Shemitah is conditioned on the observance of Yovel or not. Is there a Tanai or not? So the Rashi on the Gemara quotes that there's a Machlokes Rebbe and the Chachamim and the Sifra, and the Shad is how we paskin. So the pashtus in all the Gemaras is that we paskin that Shemitah is totally in Yovel. If you don't have Yovel, so you don't have Shemitah deraisa. We always observed, and why don't we have Yovel? Because we don't have Kol Yoshveho Aleho. The pasuk from the Liberty Bell, and thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. That's I'm from Philadelphia. So the pasuk, the Liberty Bell was commissioned to be made by the Jewish community of Pennsylvania, and then later it was taken as the symbol of freedom for all the 13 colonies. So that pasuk is an important pasuk in the Gemara, in the end of Erech and Daf Lamed Beis. The Gemara says, what does it mean l'chol yoshveh b'sman shekol yoshveho aleho? Before the Churban Bayis Rishon, Reuben and Gad and Chatzeshevet Amenashe already were sent into Golos, so the din of Yovel no longer was observed. They had a mono Yovelus l'kadosh Shemitah, the Gemara says. They counted Yovel as a blank year. That's also a machlekes. The Gemara has a machlekes satanoim, Rabbi Yudin and Rabbanon. When the Torah says that the 50th year is Yovel, they count 50-50-50-50, and 50th year is always a blank year. It doesn't belong to any Shemitah cycle. But he counts 7-7 Le'olam Voed, and the 50th year will be Yovel. So that's a machlokes satanaim. So we paskin against Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin count 50-50, that the Yovel year is a blank year. There's a further question within Rabbi Yehuda. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Further question within Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda mean that the 50th year is not a blank year? So the 50th year will always be the first year of the next Shemitah cycle? Oh no, the Yovel is a floating Yovel. You count two concurrent counts. Count 7-7 the Olam Vod, then you count 50-50 the Olam Vod. So the first Yovel was the first year of the Shemitah cycle. The next Yovel was 50 years later, the second year of the Shemitah cycle. The Yovel keeps on floating. Sometimes Yovel will be on the Shemitah year. So you save yourself. You won't have 2 years, that'll be awesome. And it'll be the same year. So that's the Tumim writes like that. And all the Achrayim say, what, did he go out of his mind? It's against all the Gemara. So the later Paskin say, it's a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says like that. But it's irrelevant. We don't Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda anyway. We Paskin like the Rabbanan, that you count 50-50 the Yovel Vod, and the Yovel is a blank year. So the pashtus is that we paskin that one is only obligated to observe Shemitah if it's going to lead up to Yovel. If you know in advance it's not going to lead up to Yovel, then you're not obligated in Atur to observe Shemitah. And we know that the Shemitah is not going to lead up to a Yovel because you don't have Kol Yoshvehu Alehu. They write in the newspapers that the Jewish agency says, the government and Eretz Yisrael says that we're about to tip the scales and we're soon going to have the majority of the world Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael. That's not enough. The Gemara says the Nerechan and Daflam and Beis and Beis, but this whole drosh is about Kol Yoshvehu Aleha. So the Gemara says even if you have rove of the world Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael, that's not enough. You have to have Shevet Reuven is defined. We know that this is Shevet Reuven and this is Shevet Shimon and this is Shevet Yehuda. If nobody knows what Shevet they belong to, that's also not Kol Yoshvehu Aleha. So we're not there yet. Even if we'll have all the Jewish population living in Eretz, we still don't have Kol Yashvela. You have to have every Shevet has to know who they are, where they are, and so on. That's what it seems from the Gemara, pretty explicit, that Braisa there in Erechim. So this is the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, that since we know that the Yovel is not Noig Bizman, at least in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, for sure it wasn't Kol Yashvela. The majority of the world Jewish population did not live in Eretz Yisrael, so the Shemitah is only Midrabbanan. So you only have to observe Shemitah Midrabbanan, but you have to observe it. So the din of Shemitah's karka, not to do Avodah Karka, only applies in Eretz Yisrael. The din of Shemitah's Ksofim applies all over the world. So everyone is supposed to observe Shemitah's Ksofim, Shvis, Meshametas, Beseifa. At the end of the Shemitah year, all the debts are canceled. There are more rights, even though Keno Askom is called a Poskon, but Yeshomrim, there are those who say that you don't have to observe. There are more lived in Kroke. In Poland, there are those who say you don't have to observe Shemitah in Chutz Loritz at all with respect to Shemitah's Ksofim. Why not? So he tells you, look in this sefer, look in the other sefer. Trumas Adeshin has something to say. In this one, Mari Yisraelin has something to say. Marika has something to say. So what's happened to Gezot? What did they say? So the Ramah doesn't tell you. So the Vilna Goyen tells you a little bit. So he says, well, he quotes the Balamor is of the opinion. Here in the Bir Agro that's printed sideways, an Ois Hei. He says the Balamor is of the opinion that in order to have Shemitah and Yovel, you have to have a Bezin counting the years. V'savarta locha sheva shapsa shanim sheva shanim sheva pomim. Means it's a mitzvah that's mutelus and the Bezin that every year they should count. This is year number one for Shemitah, this is year number two, this is year number seven, this is year number eight. That makes one Shemitah cycle in 1 year, like we count Sfira Somer. So we say, today's the eighth day of Sfira, that makes 1 week in 1 day. So that's how the Bez Nagali used to count. This is the eighth year, that makes one Shemitah cycle in 1 year, until you count till Yovel. So if in the later years, even though the Yovel wasn't observed because there was a lack of Kol Yashvehu, so Yovel didn't exist at all, Yovel wasn't observed, but there was still Shemitah Midrabban because there was a Bezin counting, there was a Bezin in Eretz Yisrael counting. But Bizman Hazel, the Balamor says, there isn't even a Bezin anywhere in the world counting, so you don't even have Shemitah Midrabban. That's the Shita's Balamor, that in the days of the Gemara, there was no Bezin counting, so it says they observed Shemitah, Dabas and Bidas Chasidus, they decided to volunteer on their own to observe Shemitah. It wasn't even a Chiyah Midrabban because you require a Bezin to count. This is a big Chiddush because the Pashtus, we usually assume that Shemitah is Shabbos Lashem, like Shabbos Bereshis, just like Shabbos Bereshis, nobody has to count. Shabbos Bereshis is Kviya V'Kaima. So too, we usually assume that Shemitah happens by itself. You don't need anybody to count. Yovel doesn't happen by itself. Yovel, you have to have Shanim ata mekadesh. The Gemara says, "V'kidash the mishnas hachamishim shana bezna has to be mekadesh." The Gemara shanim ata mekadesh, but it goes even ashnas hashmita also. Balamar holds that you need a bezin to count in order to declare the shnas hashmita as kodesh. So if you look on page 22 in the Mar Mekoymus, this is from the Eitzus Yosef by Rabbi Yosef Engel. He has several svarim that are called the Eitzus Yosef. This one is on Shviyas Bismanizah. He was a mechutna of the Kotzke Rebbe, Rabbi Morgenstern. So the Kotzke Rebbe at that time, in the early, the beginning of the 1900s, so the Kotzke Rebbe published the Kol Kairi against the colonists in Eretz Yisrael, that they're violating Shemitah. They relied on the Het Mechira, so they're violating Shemitah. And Mechal Shabbos, Dina Ka'akum, and Ein Lach Mechel Ke'el Ma'bo, and Gefelach. So he goes on and on and on. So he has a letter to his Mechutin, and he decided to print this open letter. It's 100 pages long. This is his letter to his mechutin to the Kotzke Rebbe. So he writes on page 22 in Ois Lamed Vav, he writes a mocker to the Bal Hamor. We have the Bal Hamor on Gittin. He quotes the Bal Hamor from the Sefer HaTrumos. The Talmud of the Ramban wrote the Sefer HaTrumos. The whole Chosh Mishpat is based on the Sefer HaTrumos. So the Sefer HaTrumos quotes this Bal Hamor as well, that you have to have the Bezin counting in order to be Mekadesh Shemitah. There's no Bezin counting, so we only observe Shemitah Mitam Midas Chassidus, those who want to observe. Nikra didn't. There is no Shemitah at all, even with the Rabbanon. So he gives you a marker from the Targum Yonis and Ben Uziel. If you look on the bottom, it says in Dvarim, chapter Tezvah, Pasuk Beis, it says, V'zeh Dvar HaShemitah, Le'igos Yisriyeh V'stach, V'kikor HaShemitah LaShem. How do you translate that Pasuk? Kikora Shmita Lashem. So the Targum Yonison writes over there, Arum Kora Beidina Shmitza Konam Hashem. The Bezin has declared it as the Shnas HaShmita. So he says, whoever wrote the Targum Yonison Ben Uziel on Chumash, the Gemara says it's not by Yonison Ben Uziel. Some other, it's a Targum Yerushalmi. So whoever wrote it thinks like the Bal Hamor, that in order to have a Kedusha Shnas HaShmita, you have to have a Bezin accounting. So this was one opinion. This was an obscure opinion. The Ravid originally thought, the Ravid and the Bal Hamor learned the Chavrusa, and they always disagreed with each other. Each one wrote Hasogas on the other one Sefer. So the Ravid originally thought like the Bal Hamor. Then they quote that the Sefer HaTrumos writes that the Ravid later changed his mind. He didn't agree. So this is known as the Shitas Bal Hamor. The Ramor referred you to the Trumas Hadesh and others, to the Maharik, to Vasav Mzegizok. So you look in the Bir Agro Oy Zayin on the side of the first page. The Tosfos in the first parak in Chulin. There's a long Tosfos, I think it goes from Vav Amud Beis to Zayin Amud Aleph. Tosfos has theories galore between the various Gemaras, where the Trumas and Maisris, the Mitzvah Trumas applies to Chutz Loretz or not. So half of the Gemara say, not at all. Trumas and Maisris is only in Eretz. And then the other Gemara said, say, yes, there is Trumas Chutz Loretz. How can there be Trumas Chutz Loretz? There's nothing in Chutz Loretz. So Tosfos gives one Teretz and a second Teretz and a third Teretz and a fourth Teretz. And finally, at the end of the Tosfos, they kratzai that there's a Yerushalmi that gives a Teretz. That's the only Teretz that the Rambam quotes. Shalmi says, "Midirabana baratzus hasmuchas leretz Yisrael, baratzus harachokas meretz Yisrael." Why should they introduce trumas and ma'isim midirabana baratzus hasmuchas leretz Yisrael? So they may transport produce from Eretz Yisrael. They may sell in Mitzrayim and in Surya and Amun Amun. They may bring Israeli products over there, and the people will think that it's homegrown, and they'll think that it doesn't have a din of tevel. So midirabana, they said, even if it's true that it grew in aratzus hasmuchas. There's a chumer midrabbanan. They have to be mafresh trumas and maizes. But by rotzus harachokis, they couldn't imagine we're going to have an airplane, and the tevel is going to arrive in America the next day after they harvested it in Eretz Yisrael, put it in a crate, then they send it to America and they're selling it in the streets 2 days later. So it was manatanoin. They couldn't imagine such a thing. So they were only begoyzer on the rotzus hakroivus. On the rotzus harachokis, they were never goyzer. So that's what the Rishonim say. That's what the Rama quotes. That's the way we paskin. That Trumas and Maisis is only midirabbanan by Rotzus Hasmuchas Leretz Yisrael. You have the Magen Avraham has this on page 21. This is the Magen Avraham in Hilchas Pesach, the end of Siman Tov Pei Tes. So he says, V'nirali, just the four lines on top. Nirali, everybody eats Chodesh B'chutz Loretz. Most people are not Machmer Chodesh. The Mishnah says that there's a din of Chodesh B'chutz Loretz. Just the machlek is whether it's the Raisa the Rabbon, how come everybody eats Chodesh? So he says, Ha'oilam samchim amal shekosav Rabbeinu Baruch. The Welt relies, that's a Yiddishism, the Welt relies, Ha'oilam samchim, the Welt is Samach after Mogen Avraham Geret Yiddish, no? Hayit. So everybody relies on the Rabbeinu Baruch who wrote the Sefer HaTruma. Not this. Mefalasach on the Baal Sefer HaTruma. That's one of the Baal Eteis. Teis is called Rabbeinu Baruch. Not the same as the Sefer HaTrumos. That's the Talmud of the Ramban. So he says, the Belt Falasach on the Rabbeinu Baruch. The Chodesh B'chutz Lortz Min the Rabbanon. The Gozrata B'chutz Lortz came Shanon Asmuchim L'Eretz Yisrael. Only Baratzis HaSmuchas, Baratz HaRachokas, they would never go. That's the same as the Yerushalmi said, Benegia to Tevo. So here, the Maharik, or the Trumas Adash, one of these, they say this, Benegia to Shemitas Ksofim. That's the Bismana, is that the whole din of Shemitah and Eretz Yisrael is only Midirabban, and it's not Minatora, because it's not possible to lead up to Yoivel, and you only have Shemitah Minatora, it's going to lead up to Yoivel. So since the Meretach had din Midirabbanon, so they were only Machma Baratzas HaSmuchas L'Eretz Yisrael, Baratzas HaRachokas, they were never Machma. A very difficult, extremely difficult pshara. Baratzas HaSmuchas versus Baratzas HaRachokas, that's if the Medubah, you're talking about a mitzvah that only applies in Eretz Yisrael Minatora, Midirabbanon, they want to extend it to Baratzas HaSmuchas, because there's going to be an exchange of fruits. But Shemitah's Ksofim applies all over the world. It applies in Honolulu. What has it got to do with Aratzis HaSmuchas? What shaykh the money is going to get switch over? Apeladig Esvara, what they said. It really doesn't make any sense. So this is various Esvaras. Why for many years they never bothered to make a Prusbel? The Rambam recommends we should follow the Mechaba, we should make a Prusbel. But for many generations, nobody, they had Halvois. Not that the Jews were so poor they had nothing to make a Prusbel about. They made little halvois, and they didn't bother to make a prusbel because of these various suggestions. So the Rambam said that it's not really right. You shouldn't rely on that. The Pischi Tshuva on the bottom of the page here refers you to the Mishkanes Yankif. They printed out one page from the Mishkanes Yankif here on page 23. They in the modern edition, in the late the edition of the Mishkanes Yankif, Mishkanes Yankif was the Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhin. He was in the first group of Talmidim who learned in Volozhin. He was the Rav in Karlin, Rav Yankel Karlina. And of course he fought with the Karlina Hasidim, so he has a lot of his tshuvas are in disagreement with the Hasidish practices. So this is a tshuva, nothing to do with Hasidim. This is a tshuva in Chelek Chosh and Mishpatzon in the editions that are available to us. This is Simon Lamed Vav in Chelek Chosh and Mishpatzon. In the earlier editions, the numbers of all the Simonim was different. But in the present editions, it's Simon Lamed Vav and Chosh Mishpat. So he has two suggestions. The first column is one suggestion. Why they never bothered to make a prusbel. And then on the second column, Ve'od Yeshli L'Charish B'Zeh, he has two novel suggestions. The first suggestion on the first column is that when the Loshon HaTanoim and the Gemara and the Brice is, when Shemitah is observed in Eretz Yisrael, Benegeta Avodis HaKarka, then the Jews who live all over the world have to observe Shemitah's Ksofim. When Shemitah doesn't exist in Eretz Yisrael, so you don't have to observe Shemitah's Ksofim either. So he says, there are Rishonim who hold, there are Bina Baruch holds, that Lo Kitcha Losi Lover. Not only the Kedusha Rishonah that was created in the days of Yishuv Benun was Batla, even the Kedusha Shnia that was initiated by Ezra was also Batla. We usually assume that the Kedusha Shnia was Kitcha Losilova, like the Rambam. But the Rabbeinu Baruch holds not so, that even the Kedusha Shnia was also Batla. So he says, so the Maisa, many hold that there's no Din of Shemitah at all in Eretz Yisrael. And even if you hold that there is a Din of Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael, but he says, how many farmers are there in Eretz Yisrael already? In his days, he lived before the Zionist movement. Eretz Yisrael doesn't play a prominent place at all in the days of the Mishkanes Yankif in the mid-1800s. So he says, Shemitah is being observed there? What, there are four Jewish farmers now? That's called Shemitah is being observed. If you'll have it in the newspapers, if it'll be something big, you'll do it, that there are Jews in Eretz Yisrael observing Shemitah, so then you can say, oh, Shemitah is being observed in Eretz Yisrael, so all the Jews all over the world have to observe Shemitah's Ksofim. But there's hardly anybody there in Eretz Yisrael. So that's his first suggestion. First column. Then his second column, he has a fantastic Kiddush. He says, the Gemara says that in order to declare that Shemitah's Ksofim applies Bizman HaZeh, if Minatar, there is no Shemitah's Ksofim. So what do you mean? He's not going to pay me the $50,000 that he borrowed. He's a Ganav. So the Rabbanon, they introduced Shemitah's Ksofim. How did the Rabbanon have a right to steal my money? He owes me $50,000. What's going on? So the Gemara says, Hefke Bez and Hefke. Okay. That's always, the Gemara says, Ein koyach b'yad chachamim lakadov men atar b'kum v'yaseh. The chachamim do not have authority to allow people to violate averus. The chacham only have authority, lakadov men atar b'shevi al tasa. The chacham tells us, don't blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. Don't shake a lulav. Don't do a mitzvah. Don't put on tzitzit. Don't bring a korban pesach. Don't do a mitzvah. But to tell us to go b'kum v'yaseh to do an averus, not. So how can they allow the person to steal my $50,000? The chaganef, that's b'kum v'yaseh. So the Gemara says, hefke bezn hefke. Fine. So the Mishkanes Yankiv says, there's a Rashi in Bava Metzia, Perek HaShoyel. That's his style. He never tells you what daf. He says, a Gemara in Erevin. He doesn't tell you what Mesicht. By mistake, there's a tshuva by the Mishkanes Yankiv that was included in the Chutam Shulosh. Chutam Shulosh is a collection of the tshuvas by the three Rashi Yeshiva and Valojin. Rab Chaim Valojin is the first section. Then Rab Lezer Itche, I think, was his son-in-law. Rab Lezer Yitzchak, then Rab Hillel was another son-in-law. So by mistake, it was printed after Rab Chaim Valojin and died. So he wasn't there to supervise. So by mistake, they found that Mishkanes Yankiv had sent a tshuva that he wrote to Rab Chaim Valojin. Must have been on his desk. So by mistake, they thought that that was written by Rab Chaim Valojin. And so they included it in the Chutam Shulosh. So later on, they pointed out, it can't be by Rab Chaim Valojin. First of all, it's printed in the Mishkanes Yankiv. While he was alive, he printed in his tshuva, so obviously it's his tshuva. Secondly, he quotes the Zohar. Rab Chaim Valojin never quotes the Zohar in his tshuvas. He quotes the Zohar all the time in Nefesh HaChaim. They learn Zohar and Valojin Yeshiva, but he never quotes the Zohar in his tshuvas. Thirdly, Rab Chaim Valojin always gives you a chapter and a verse. Daf, Ayin, Gimel, Omid, Beis, Taisus, Dibra, Mascha. Mishkanes Yankiv says, Taisus in Erevin. Taisus in Shavuos, Atasefta in Yevamos. He never tells you where. So that's how they establish clearly that tshuva about the green esregim. He has a whole attack against the Hasidim who are mahadah to have green esregim based on a Zohar, esrega yoroik. So the Mishkanes Yankiv writes that that's not the pshat in the Zohar. The Hasidim are making a mistake. And yorik means yellow. Yorik ikarsi means green. Yorik alon means yellow, brown, whatever. So here, does the Mishkanes Yankiv say, he never tells you what daf. He says there's a Rashi in the end of Bavim Tzia Perek HaShoel. Where the Gemara says there, he makes a yisoid out of this, that whenever the Chachamim made a takana with the Rabbanon in the area of Dinim Ominous that relies on Hefker Bezn Hefker, and now we live Tashin Samach Zayin, which Bezn declared the Hefker Bezn? He says, what, the Bezn from 2,000 years ago? Rabbi Gamliel Beis Dinoi. How can there be Mafka Adovish Lo Bali Olam? The ring didn't exist yet. What do you mean that Mafka the ring? So Rashi interprets in the Gemara, the Bezn Shebechol Dovador, the Bezn in our generation is making the Hefker. So he comes to a startling Kiddush. He says, a Bezdin in every generation has the right to make the Hefke Bezdin. Who is this Bezdin? Which Bezdin? What Bezdin? He says, in our generation, we don't have any central authority, so he doesn't think that any din in the Gemara that's based on Hefke Bezdin. He thinks that it's very questionable whether it applies today. Then he says, in the last paragraph, this is a famous one, the Sri Yesh quotes, I don't know, the Sri Yesh wasn't aware of this Mishkanes Yankiv. He quotes a tshuva sefer that someone said this in the name of the Mishkanes Yankiv, that sometimes we say afkina abana lekidushim inei. Sometimes we declare that midatar the woman is an eshesish, mid the rabbana we permit her to remarry. We say afkina abana kidushim inei, hafkuas kidushin. So he quotes the rabban who says whenever the gemara has an institution of hafkuas kidushin, afkina abana, the cases that we know. So that doesn't apply bisman hazeh because we don't. It's not that Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva, somebody 2,000 years ago made a Hafkoas Kiddushin. No, how can they make? Hafkoas Kiddushin is also like Hefke Bezdin. You have to have the Bezdin in our generation. We don't have any central authority in our generation. If you would have a central authority, then there's what to talk about. You have no central authority. So Itanis, the whole Hafkin Rabbani Kiddushin Minei doesn't apply, and he's not so convinced that the whole institution of Hefke Bezdin should apply, that you should say there should be Din of Shemitas Ksofim. He says, even if there's a din of Shemitah mid Rabbanu, there's no Shemitah's Ksofim. Shemitah's Ksofim has to be based on Hefke Bezdin. There is no central authority today who has the right to be mafkia my ownership of the $50,000. Wow, this is fantastic. I have an essay in my recent Sefer Gina Segos about Afkoas Kiddushim Mizman Hazeh. So I quote this Sri Deyesh, who talks about this Mishkanes Yankiv, that he was told the such Mishkanes Yankiv, and he couldn't believe it, so someone sent him a Xerox copy of the page of the Sefer with the Mishkanes Yankiv was choishish that you shouldn't rely on Hafkoas Kiddushin that says in the Gemara. Forget about new Hafkoas Kiddushin we want to make this one. Even Hafkoas Kiddushin that says in Shas, he wouldn't rely on because of this Rabban. The Rabban says that he thinks that Bizman Hazeh doesn't apply. So these are various reasons why for many generations they simply did not observe Shemitah's Ksofim. There was another svara thrown in, why not to observe Shemitah's Ksofim, but the Poskim all thought that that was a joke. This was a svara, why not to observe Shemitah at all. They used to have, in Europe, in Eastern Europe, they used to have Hebrew magazines, Hebrew journals, and people would write essays, not necessarily Rabbanim, Tamir, HaChamim, Moir, HaRoh, Balabatim, and also scholarly Balabatim would also write essays. So one of the Balabatim sent in an essay in the early 1900s when they were talking about the colonies in Eretz Yisroel, whether they have to observe Shemitah. So someone sent in the following Chochmah, that Shemitah b'zman hazeh is only midrabbanan, because it's only the Raisa that's going to lead up to Yovel. So we don't have Kol Yoshua Aleh, so it's only midrabbanan. That's how most of the Poskim hold. And we have a Klal Sveka, the Rabbanan Lekula, and we're not sure which year is the Shnas HaShemitah. So you go Lekula and all the years. Since you're not sure which year is Shemitah, so you have a right, the whole din of Shemitah is only midrabbanan, you go Lekula. So Rabbi Yosef Engel says he heard such a notion on page 21 in the Mar Mekaymus, by the letter Lamed Hey, which is number 3 of the Mar Mekaymus, by the letter Lamed Hey in the Eitzus Yosef. He's quoting from his Mechutin, Masha Kasav Kod Kudushasai. He's a Chassidish Rebbe, the Kotzke Rebbe, so he has to call him Kod Kudushasai. Masha Kasav Kod Kudushasai. He rips apart every word that he said, but he writes with respect. He's a Rebbe. So he says that he wrote Shenaf Shenaf LaMachloik has been aposkin Bezer Shani Yashmita V'Shemaiti Ashegamai Deizel Lokhu Hamikilim Mishvis Mivane Zed Tzad LaHokel. He says, I don't understand. What was the Tzad LaHokel? Rabbi Yosef Engel says, I don't understand. What's the Tzad LaHokel? So what happened was the Beis Halevi also addresses that. Beis Halevi was before a little older than Rabbi Yosef Engel. He died probably 15 years earlier. So the Beis Halevi also quotes that from one of the Hebrew magazines that they had in Eastern Europe. So one of the scholarly Balabatim made that suggestion that the colonists don't have to observe Shemitah at all today because Shemitah b'zmanes is only the Rabbanan to begin with and Sveka the Rabbanan l'kulam. We're not sure which year is Shnas HaShemitah. We're not sure whether this year is Shemitah or next year is Shemitah. Some Rishonim think that this year is Shemitah and some think in Gansan a different year. So the Beis Halevi and Rabbi Yosef Engel, they both say the same thing. That's utterly ridiculous. When you have a Sveka the Rabbanan l'kula, you have a suffix whether something is also a mutter, so if it's only the Rabbanan, so you go l'kula. But if you have a din the Rabbanan, it's either a taruvus of chad b'chad. And he said the Rabbanan taruvus chad b'chad. So either this one is also, or that one is also. So you can't say Sveka the Rabbanan l'kula to be matter both. It's ikva yisur. I know the Shemitah is here somewhere. Where is the Shemitah here? So the same farm, I can't be matter both. If I have a farm only this year, I don't have. I'm going to Eretz Yisrael 1 year, okay? So I say Sveka the Rabbanan l'kula. Maybe Shemitah is a different year, but I have a farm. I'm going to be there for 10 years straight in a row. So for sure, I'm going to have the both years that are Shemitah. So how can you say Sveka the Rabbanan l'kula by a tarte disasri? So they both quote Rabbi Yosef Engel and the Beis Halevi. They both quote the same sources. One source is the Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara says there were certain cities that it's a Sofik if it's Mukav Chomim Mois Yeshua Ben Nun. So when did they read the Megillah? So you should say Sofik the Rabban Lekul. Let him not read the Megillah at all. Let him go Lekul on the 14th, go Lekul on the 15th. The Gemara says, no, you have to read the Megillah on both. You have to read on both. Why? Because Yavadai Chayv and Mikra Megillah, the only Sofik is which day, and you can't choose arbitrarily. So you have to go Lechumra on both. And then the same idea appears in the Gemara in Arvid Psochem, they both quote the Beis Halevi with the Eitzus Yosef, they both quote the same thing. The Gemara says Hasebe is only required by two of the Arba Koses, and we're not sure which two, whether the first two Arba Koses before the meal or the second two of the Arba Koses after the meal. So since we can't be Machria, so we go the Chumran both. So why don't you go the Kulan both? So they all say no, that they quote the Ran. The Ran says that's ridiculous. You'll clearly be in violation of the Takana de Rabbana that you have to have Haseba for two out of the four Abakosis. And you can't choose arbitrarily the two that you want, the two that are in your best interest. Hechatesa, why'd you pick those two? So whenever you have a Sveka de Rabbanan, where it's a tie to the Sas, you have to go to Chumra on both. You don't go to Kulam both. So that's what the Beis Halevi says. You better not raise this issue as to which year is the Shnas HaShemitah, or you're going to make the problems worse. Then the farmers have to observe all the years. They have to observe all 7 years because they're different opinions, which is the Shnas HaShemitah, yeah. So where did these different opinions come from? So we know, historically, the Beis HaMikdash was, second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed Tisha B'Av, let's say August, in the year 70. So not all the Rishonim agreed to that. That's what we got from the secular history book. Some of the Rishonim think was destroyed the year 69. They're not sure. What does it have to do with Tishmitah? So the Gemara says that the year that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was Motzoi Shvius. It was year number one of the Shnas HaShmita. The previous year was a Shmita year, and the Shana Shebo Nechrav HaBayis was Motzoi Shvius. So that's the Shaila. So we assume, for our calculations today, we assume that the year 70 was year number one of the Shemitah cycle. So if you calculate from the year 70, 777, the Olam Voed, you'll get the Tav Shin Samaches will be a Shnas HaShemitah. That's the way we calculate. Other Rishonim say, we left at the Yovel, we'll have to get back to the Yovel. Other Rishonim say, the Rambam Tosfos on the Daf in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud, where the Gemara talks about this. So Tosfos has a long Tosfos there, and the Rambam writes like this also. When the Gemara says, Shana Shebo Nechrav HaBayis was Matzoi Shviyis, it doesn't mean that that August, Tisha B'Av, was Matzoi Shviyis. No. When they burnt down the Beis HaMikdash, it burnt down in one day and finished farting. No, it was burning and burning and burning for 2 months straight. The flames went out after Sukkot, the Rambam says. Tisha B'Av, they lit the flames in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says most of the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Yudov. And then it kept on burning, burning, burning for 2 months. And then in the middle of Tishrei, then the fires went out. So the Rambam says, that was Matzoi Shviyas. Shana Shabbat Nechrav HaBayis, that August was Shemitah. The next year was Matzoi Shviyas. So you're not sure where you're holding? So you're not sure where, you're not sure which year the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? We assume the year 70, so no suffering. Then you're not sure, what did the Chazal mean? That the year 70 was the Shnas HaShemitah starting from September 69 till September 70, October, whatever. That was the Shnas HaShemitah? Oh no, that was the Shnas HaShemitah? Or that was the Matzoi Shviyas? So we assume that year was the Matzoi Shviyas. And we count 7-7, that's how we arrive at the calculation that next year is going to be a Shnas HaShemitah. So this was a suggestion that some made, that since we're not sure which year is the Shnas HaShemitah, we should go to Kula on all the years, and that was clearly not accepted. Yeah, I mentioned earlier that the Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim where they count 7-7 le'olam voed. That's Reb Yehuda's opinion, and the Shnas HaYovel is not a separate year. You always count 7-7 le'olam voed. We don't accept that opinion. We paskin that you count 50-50 le'olam voed, and even when you're not observing Yovel, the Gemara has the lashon there in Erech and Daf Lamed Beis Manu Yovelos leKadesh Shmitin. They counted the Bezin counted Yovel as a blank year to push off the next Shmita. You don't count 7-7 le'olam voed, you count 50-50-50-50. And even if you're not observing the 50th year, but that year is a blank year to push off the next Shemitah cycle. So the Rambam writes in the beginning of Perek Yud, this is on page 24 of the Mar Mekoymes, so the Rambam writes in the beginning of Perek Yud in Hilcha Shemitah v'yoyvel, it's a mitzvah metelos and the Bez Nagodol to count the years every year. And then he says you count 50-50-50-50, you don't count 7-7 le'olam voed. And even when you're not observing Yovel, he quotes the Gemara, the Yovel is still a blank year, Manu Yovelus L'Kadosh Mitin. The Yovel is a blank year. Then the Rambam says the same should be true today. We shouldn't count 7-7 the Yovel Voed like we're doing. We should really count 50-50. So go trace back where you left off. So the Rambam starts making a whole calculation. When he built Bais Sheni, how many years the Bais Sheni? The Rambam is assuming like the history that the Gemara has, that the Bais Sheni lasted only 420 years. All the history books assume that it was way longer than 420 years. So the Rambam is making that calculation, and he's assuming that there was a 50th Yovel, a Yovel here, and a Yovel there, and a Yovel there, and every time there's a Yovel, keeps on pushing off the Shemitah. So he tells you, he calculates based on this whole fantastic Cheshbon, and he tells you which year is going to be Shemitah. Then he says, but that's not Lemaisa, this is all in theory. But then he says in Simon, in Halacha Dalet, on page 24 in the top section, he writes, Nimtzes Lamei, the year that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, etc., etc. And when is the Shnas HaShemitah? Tells you which year it is. Avol, he writes, Halacha Hei. Avol Kol HaGaonim Omer, the Gaonim who lived in Eretz Yisrael, who observed Shemitah. The Gaonim who lived in Babel didn't observe Shemitah. The Gaonim who lived in Eretz Yisrael, Omeru, Shemasoris Hibideim, Ishmi Piish, that since the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, you don't count 50-50-50, the only word, you count 7-7. And he says, that's what he continues on the top of page 250 there. L'manosh nasa chamishim ala sheva sheva bovad. Shain. V'shnas hashmita yudum for semi seitz alagonim anshi Eretz Yisrael. Shain. And you only count 7-7. And even though the Rambam holds that it doesn't make sense, he concludes halacha vav, v'al ze onu somchim, u'kifi ha'cheshben al ze onu morim. That's how he passed in linyan shumas and maishas u'shmita, u'shmita's ksofim. Why? Because the tradition, the Gaonim lived in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam writes, ha'kabbalah v'ha'maisa, amudim gedolim b'hayro, behem roi lehitalos. We have to rely on the tradition that they had. Even though the Rambam thinks that it does not make any sense, the Rambam thinks that you should count 50-50, and you should keep on pushing off the Shemitah year. So the whole calculation we have the next year of Shemitah probably not correct. So the Ravid is masig on the Rambam, and he says, no, the Goyim didn't know what they're talking about. The Goyim passed like Rav Yehuda, and we don't pass like Rav Yehuda. He thinks we should follow the Rambam. That's what the Rav once made a comment. He says, to the best of his knowledge, this is the only source, the only place where there's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam holds you should not follow the Rambam's opinion. The Rambam tells you what his opinion is, you should count the Yovel as a blank year. But then he says, the Goyim say not so. And he says, we follow the tradition, even though it doesn't make any sense. And the Ravid is masig on the Rambam and says, no, you have to paskin like the Rambam. The Ravid is masig, you have to paskin like the Rambam, halacha l'maisa. Not, the Rambam should not have given in to the Goyim. Rav said, to his recollection, this is the only place. So this is also throws in a monkey wrench. If you're trying to figure out which year is Shnas HaShmita, so according to the Ravid, who thinks that like the Rambam Svara, you have to go calculate which year is where you added on a Shnas HaYov. Anyway, Levaisa, we don't do that. Whatever the Hezver is, Rab Chaim has a famous Hezber in the Sefer on the Rambam, a very beautiful explanation. The Meshech Chochma has a Kabbalistic explanation. Whatever the explanation is, that is the tradition. We count 7-7-7-7, the Olam Vod. We assume that the year 70 was Shana Rishona. From September, the year 69, till September, October, the year 70, that year Shana Bosh and Nech Rabbayis, we assume that year was Matzoi Shviyas. Not like the Rambam writes the next year. After Rosh Hashanah was Matzoi Shviyas. We assume that year was Matzoi Shviyas. And therefore, the next year, Tavshin Samaches, is going to be the Shnas HaShmita. And it doesn't make sense to assume that to be Machmer as Feker Adina, which year is Shnas HaShmita, is going to be Emel Dov Asof. We're going to have all 7 years. There's going to be some sheet or another that in the next year and the other year and the other year. So we don't do that. So when do you make the Pruzbal? So the comment says in Shulchan Aruch, you make the Pruzbal before the end of Shnas HaShmita. In other words, next summer. Next Chodesh Elul, before Shvi'is Mishamet is the Sofa, when the Shemitah comes to an end, then it cancels all the debts. So before the Shemitah makes the effect, you have to write the Pruzbal. Some tzaddikim were machmer to write the Pruzbal this summer, in Elul, before Shnas HaShemitah begins. What is that all about? So there are two explanations for their Chumr. So one explanation is that they lived in Chutz Lord, so they could be machmer, but so they were machmer that this year is Shnas HaShemitah. If they would have been farmers in Eretz Yisrael, they probably would not have been machmer 2 years in a row. They're not going to do Avodas HaKarka. So there's only an issue of a Pruzbal. So they decided to write the Pruzbal the end of this year on the assumption that maybe this year is the Shnas HaShmita. That's one explanation for the Chumrah. That's not a proper Chumrah because it's just going to make everything cockeyed. If you're going to treat it as a Sufik, which year is Shnas HaShmita, is a Chen Ledova Suf. So if that's the reason for the Chumrah, it doesn't make sense. So the others say, no, the Chumrah is based on the Rosh and Gittin, who writes that even though Shvi'is Meshamet is only Besofo, but in the middle of the Shnas HaShmita, there still is a din of Lo Yigos. The whole year you're not allowed to ask the Loiva to pay the money back. So to go make a Pruzbal is also an act of Negisa. So it's required, the Rosh writes, that you have to make the Pruzbal before the Shnas HaShmita begins. So that was always a minority opinion. So there were Hasidim Anshei Maisa who were Machmir to write the Pruzbal before the beginning of the Shnas HaShmita. The quote, the Chazon Ish was not machmer for that. Some of those who were close to the Chazon Ish said the Chazon Ish was never machmer to that. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes the Chasam Sofer, who says he was very close to his Rebbe, Rav Nos Nadler, Lozozo Yodi Metoch Yodoi. He was with him all the time. He knows for a fact he never made a Pruzbal before the beginning of the Shnas HaShmita. Nos Nadler was machmer on everything. He says he was never a Chasam Sofer. His Talmud says he was never machmer on this. And the Stipler, knowing that his brother-in-law, the Chazon Ish, was never Machmer, he was Machmer. He was Machmer to make two Pruzbals, to make one Pruzbal before the beginning of the Shnas HaShmita, and then to make another Pruzbal at the end of the Shnas HaShmita. The din is that Shvi'is only cancels debts that are derech halvor. Let's say if I owe a few hundred dollars to the butcher shop, and I owe money to the grocery shop, Ayo schalim and ayo debts of a different form, then strictly speaking, Shvi'is is not mishametes. That's on page 25, where we have a printout from the next Sifim, Sifim Yudalet, Tezvov, Tezayin. Sif Yudzayin is also Hemshech, the same thing. Hakofes Achanus, Einem Mishametes, is a Mishnah in the end. Hakofes Achanus means that they sold me on credit. So it's not a halvoy, and it's not a chov stam. Shemitah doesn't cancel that. Sif Tezvav Skar Sochir, if you owe a salary to the workers, it doesn't cancel. The next Sif in Shulchan Aruch, Sif Yudzayin, says the Shemitah does not cancel Chiyuv Ksuba, unless Zaka Fala B'Milva. That's what the Mishnayos have in all these cases. If you did a Zekifas Milva, then the Shemitah does cancel. So what is Zekifas Milva all about? Somehow, Zekifas Milva accomplishes that I convert a Chiyuv to pay Dmei HaMekach. I bought meat by the butcher. I bought groceries in the grocery shop. I owe money, I owe a debt to my workers, I owe an answer mafatim, or tishem, or ksuba, whatever. So somehow you wave a magic wand and you change the choiv into a choiv stam. So somehow Shvi'is is mishamet. How exactly does it work? Technically, what are you supposed to do? How do you make us kifas milvim? So there are different opinions, and the Ramo has the biggest chumra of all. The Ramo and Sif Yudalat on page 25, the Ramo says, the Yesh Omrim, there is one opinion, Mordechai quotes in Shavuos, the Mikri's Kifas Milva Miyad Shekasa Bibin Kasa Kol HaChesbon Biyachad. Let's say I go to the butcher shop, I go to the grocer, and he writes down how much my children bought some milk, and I bought some whatever. We bought a lot of things there. Then at the end of the week, he writes a Sach HaKol. He doesn't keep them. When I come with cash on payday, and I come to pay him, so he's not going to go add up, I bought something on Sunday, I bought something on Erev Shabbos, then I bought the next week on Sunday. At the end of the week, at the end of the day, he's going to add up Schechter Rosen $400 and Schneider Rosen $500. He's going to add everything up. So the Ramo quotes one opinion when the Balachanus writes a Sach HaKol. I didn't even ask him to. He writes on his own. He does on his own. Then it's converted into a Chayv Stam. That's called Kifas Milveh. And then Shvi'is is Mishamet. So this is a common issue. A lot of times people owe us money. Shelo B'Toras Halvoa, Shelo B'Toras Chayv Stam. But if we make a skifas milva, then shvi'is is mishametes. That's the mishnayos. Exactly what's the technical mechanism of skifas milva? That's what the Ramo discusses. He quotes these different opinions, and he quotes this chumra when he writes a sach hakol, kol hacheshbon biyachad. Yeah. What's the halachic mechanism of skifas milva? So the Rav used to say over this Avnei Nezer in number 6. He was very fond. He said it over a lot of Avnei Nezers. He didn't always say b'shem amroi. But he used to say he used to enjoy learning the Avnei Nezer when he was a child. He said a lot of Avnei Nezer's word for word, blow by blow, sif by sif. He used to say over a lot. So this is one of them that he was fond of. When you make a skifas milva, what it means is that I paid up the old debt with the obligation of the new debt. I accepted upon, let's say I owe you $100 because I broke your window. That's out of my mazik. So I accept upon my, I write you a document, I owe you $100. I don't write because I broke your window, I just say, I owe you $100. So by my being mischai myself in a new chov, that's the payment of the old chov. It's considered as if the old chov is parua, and this is a new chov. So that's the halachic mechanism. Then the technical mechanism of how it exactly works, so that's what the Ramo talks about. But the halachic interpretation of what the institution of Skifas Milv is, that's what the Avnei Nezer writes. In order to make a prusbul, it's required that the loiva should have karka. He doesn't necessarily have to own the karka. Even if he rented the karka, is also enough. So 99.99% of people in the world live in an apartment. Who doesn't have karka? The single children who live in my apartment don't have any karka. But my married children all have their own apartments. So whoever has his own apartment, of course you can make a prusbul. That's what they ask in Shulchan Aruch. And I said, Kelman said, so who is this person? A bum who sleeps in the park? Who is the loiva? Who doesn't have any karka? How can it be? Everybody has some karka. So they say, single children who live in their parents' home. So they borrowed some money. So the loiva hat nishken karka. But normal people have karka. So this is the main issue of Shvi'is Bizman Hazeh for the B'nai Chutz Lords, is Benegeti writing a prusbul. The sukkahs, following a Shnas HaShemitah, there's always a big dispute regarding using Esroge Eretz Yisrael. What's the issue? Because the merchants who sell the Esrogim, most of them are relying on the Heta Mechira, and they lock their gates, and they don't allow anybody to come in and take their Esrogim. Otherwise, they won't make any Parnassus. This is the whole Parnassus all year long. They just sell Esrogim, and that's it. And they sit and they learn a whole year, supposedly, based on the revach that they made from selling all the Esrogim. So rove of these people who are selling Esrogim are relying on the Heta Mechira. So the Shaila is, well, that's his problem. I live in America. Am I relying on the Heta Mechira? So that's where Rav Moshe Feinstein has the tshuva in page 26. This is the first Igros Moshe, or Rechaim Chelek Aleph, towards the very end of the tshuvas. At the end of the Sefer, he has Chidushim on Kotshim. But this is one of the last tshuvas in the Chelek Arachaim, the Inyan Esrog Yeshmita. What's the issue? The Shaila is, the Gemara says in Sukkah that in order for an Esrog to be kosher l'mitzvasai, it has to be Yesh Bo Heter Achila. If it's an esrik shel orla, it's also bachila, then it's not accepted. Esrik has to be pre-eitz odor. Pre means a kosher pre. If it's not kosher, it's not called a pre. So orla is not acceptable. So the shayla is, what about an esrik hamishumer? The farmer locked the gates and he didn't let anybody take the peris. The farmer has a mitzvah to be mafker orla peris, shas hashmita, to open up all the gates and let everybody take whatever they want, and he didn't do that. Well, he was relying on the heta mechira. So he didn't do an aver. But I live in America, so I don't want to rely on the Heta Mechira. So is there anything wrong with eating such an esrog? So there's a Gemara on the last daf in Yevamos, on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. But the Gemara talks about, here it's printed in the Mar Mekoymus on page 27, number 8 of the Mar Mekoymus, on the second half of the page. So that top taste is Kuf Chav Beis Amud Aleph. That's the very last Amud Aleph in Yevamos. Yevamos ends on Kuf Chav Beis Amud Beis. On Kuf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, a Nochri comes and he's selling food, and he said, this food, these peris grew, these are shel azika. What is azika? What does the word mean? So Tosfos quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, that azika means from a field that I locked the gates and I didn't let anybody touch the peris. So the Rabbeinu Tam claims, based on his reading of the Toras Kahanim, of the Sifro, that there's an Issa to eat such peris. You're not allowed to eat Meshumar. If you have peris shvis that you were supposed to be mafke and you didn't observe the din, so the peris are rasa b'achila. So if you put two and two together, so the esrog is pasul. If the Gemara says an esrog has to be, in order to be called the pri, has to be yesh b'heter achila. And if you have peris that a Meshumar, so it's also bachila. The Rabbeinu Tam claims also bachila. Rov Harishonim don't agree with the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam in Taisis learns pshat in the Gemara. Shel azikahem, I locked the gates, and I wasn't mafkerit. So then the peiros are also bachila. So it comes out that the asroigim that they're selling from Eretz Yisrael, the sukkah is following shnas hashmito, apostle. So that's what Rav Moshe talks about. So the Rav discussed this in Shir. So he told us in his years ago, the Morgan Journal used to come out every day. So before Sukkot of Matzoi Shviyas, there always used to be two advertisements on the same page, one next to the other. The Mizrahi, Hapoel HaMizrahi, put in an advertisement that this year, as every year, Rav Soloveitchik encourages the public to buy Esrogim from Eretz Yisrael to support the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. And you shouldn't be concerned about the issue of Shemitah. It doesn't give an explanation, just said Rav Soloveitchik said it's okay. Next to that ad, there used to be another ad that the Satma Rebbe said that this year, unlike every other year, since this year is Matzoi Shviyas and the farmers relied on the Heta Mechira, which is questionable, which he didn't hold from, so the Esrogim from Eretz Yisrael are possible. They used to have these two ads printed one next to the other. So many people used to say, yeah, we could have told you that with our eyes closed. If you tell us there's a Machlokes, Rav Soloveitchik and the Satma Rebbe, we could have told you with our eyes closed who said which way, why. Because Rabbi Soloveitchik was the honorary president of the Mizrahi, and he supports the Zionism, and he supports the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. So of course he's going to say that the Esrogim are good. And the Satmar Rebbe, as opposed to the whole Medina, so of course he's going to say the Esrogim are no good. So it's interesting, the Chazon Ish has a whole essay about this. If you look on page 34 in the Mar Mekoymus, Chazon Ish has a beautiful, beautiful sefer called Emunah Bitochon. In a fancy Hebrew, he has his own style Hebrew. Like Rav Soloveitchik had his own style Hebrew, not like anybody else. A different style of writing. So the Chazon Ish has his own style Hebrew, very beautiful. So he starts from the section Lamed on. So he says that there are those who believe that Torah min Hashamayim, and they believe that we have to listen to the Rabbanim, but they believe that all the Rabbanim have Negiyas. that this rabbi, this holy tzaddik, he's in favor of the Zionists, and he's against the Zionists, and he favors the rich people, the poor people, whatever. So he says, you have to have a munas chachamim, that when a Talmid Chacham paskins a shayla, it's above all negiyas. If you're going to assume that Talmid Chachamim who paskins, there are shvacha Talmid Chachamim, shvacha kep, they're not such big Talmid Chachamim, they're fakers. So they have a lot of negiyas. Of course, everything they say is full of negiyas. You have Dine Torah, where we know in advance, the guy's going to say, we know in advance what the Malach HaMavis is going to say. When you hire the Malach HaMavis to be your Tayin, of course he's going to say that you're right, before he even listens to the case. You pay him so much money, of course he's going to support your cause. But you're talking about big, honest to goodness, Talmid HaChachamim. What do they think, that Satmar Rebbe and Rabbi Soloveitchik were both fakers? That they closed their eyes and he says he's pro-Zionism, he says it's good. And he says against Zionism, he says it's no good. No, each one gave a lamda shiriz and has nothing to do with Zionism. I remember when I was growing up in Philadelphia, so the only place for the religious children to get together was Bnei Akiva. Originally it was Shema Hadati, and then converted to become Bnei Akiva. So I remember, it still is in my mind, one of the people came and he said, he was talking about Shemitah, so he said, Misha ma'amin b'kedushat ha'aretz vaday yimtza heter. Whoever believes strongly in Kedushas Eretz Yisrael will certainly come up with a heter for Shnas HaShemitah. So I thought that was interesting. Then when I grew up, I was a little boy then before, but then I grew up, I found that just the reverse. Misha ma'amin b'kedushat ha'aretz, if Eretz Yisrael has kedusha deraisa, so the whole heter mechira doesn't exist. Whole heter mechira rests on the assumption that there's no kedusha ha'aretz, that the whole thing is only mid-rabban. Misha ma'amin b'hetes b'kedushat ha'aretz, there's no heter at all. So that's totally not correct. So this is really a serious issue that a lot of people say, I'm big talmid chachamim. Of course he said that. Of course he's going to take that position. He's a Zionist. Of course he's going to take that position. He's an anti-Zionist. That's really kfirah. It's emunas chachamim. Emunas chachamim. Not talking about emunas chachamim that tell you whom to vote for. That's another shah. Talking about emunas chachamim that they pass in a shayla. They're giving the honest, they're giving this opinion based on halachic consideration, not based on political consideration. So the Chazon Ish says that's the basis of our whole tradition of the whole Torah Shabbat Peh. If you don't have emunas chachamim, so every rabbi in every generation, he didn't like women, so he always made up dinim against the women. And he was always in favor of the wealthy people. He was always in favor of the poor people. So every din is suspect. Every din that any Tana, any Amara said is always suspect. It's based on his personal considerations. That's ridiculous. The Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim. The Nekudas HaKesef, on the first page in Yeredeh, Daf Aleph Amud Aleph, I think, so Nekudas HaKesef writes that sometimes it says in Chumash Vaydabra, Tzav is Bnei Yisrael. So sometimes the Tanoim will darshan Bnei Yisrael velo gerim, and most of the time they will not darshan like that. So how do you know when to be mamayit gerim, when not? So then Kudus HaKes, right, it's a major problem. We don't know how the Tanoim decide. So there's such a machlekes HaTanoim by the Parsha of Soita. The Torah promises a miracle, l'dorei doris, that whenever a husband is choshed, his wife is nus, he brings it to the Beis HaMikdash, gives it the Mayim HaMorim, and a miracle will occur if she's Tahora b'niksav in Israel Zorah. If she's Tameya, it doesn't taste good, but it's not poisonous. If she's Tameya, then she's going to die. She'll start to die. So the Tanoim had a machlekes, but this miracle was promised in the situation where the husband is a ger. Because the Lashon HaPasuk is Daber b'nei Yisrael, maybe b'nei Yisrael v'lo gerim. Sometimes you do darshan like that, sometimes you don't. The Gemara has a machlekes HaTanoim. So the Gemara quotes the Tana, Avtalion, I think. Shmai Avtalion. So I think the Gemara quotes, Avtalion says that Mashkim is Hager. Mashkim is Hagioris. Mrs. Ger, they call her Ger. It doesn't matter whether she is. It matters whether the husband is a Ger or not. So they called Mrs. Ger, the woman is married to a Ger, is called Hagioris. Okay. So there's a Machlokes. So they quote, Avtalion says Mashkim is Hagioris. Then the Gemara quotes, one Balabas who lived at that time said, of course he's going to say it like that. Avtalion himself was either a ger, a descendant of ger. So of course he's going to darshan all the psukim in favor of the ger. So the Gemara says they put him in nidui. To say such a thing, that Rabbi Soloveitchik says the esuk is good because he's the president of the Mizrahi, means a faker. And the Satmar Rebbe said it's no good because he's opposed to Zionism. Also a faker. Everybody's a faker. Everybody's a faker. That's terrible. That's terrible. The people who say it like that deserve to be put in nidui. We believe in emunas chacham. Anyway, so the Rav said regarding this issue about the Esrog Yeshvi, so he said, he doesn't think that there's a problem. He said, number one, Rov HaRishonim do not accept this Rabbeinu Tam. That's what Moshe writes also. Rov HaRishonim do not accept the Rabbeinu Tam. The That's what he writes in the second column, here on page 26 in the Mar Mekoymes. He writes in the second paragraph, Nimtza sheyesh lan rov harishonim neged Rabbeinu Tam. Yesh lismacha layu. He says, rov harishonim don't accept the Rabbeinu Tam. And then the Rav Soloveitchik got it on another point. He said, and even if you'll hold like the Rabbeinu Tam, he doesn't think that this is called an esek shem b'heter achila. An esek shem b'heter achila means that it's not kosher in Hilchas Macholas Asuris. Mishumar is a different iser. The farmer has a mitzvah to be mafkaro l'peiros. And if he puts up a fence, then he violated an aver. So if I buy from the mishumar and I'm going to eat it, it's considered as if I were a farmer and I'm still holding the fences up, even though all the food was harvested already. No. Whoever eats some peiros ha-mishumarim is considered as if he was mishama the peiros. But it doesn't make the peiros into macholas. You're not allowed to eat it because then it's going to come out as if you are participating, you have a hand in the act of the shimur. But it's not that the food per se is asa b'achila. The food is really muta b'achila. These were the two arguments that Rav Soloveitchik said. Moshe has in this tshuva, it's kedai to read the tshuva, he has a few other comments. You look in the last paragraph in the tshuva, that's on page 27, right before it says Moshe Feinstein. He writes that there was a Goyen Echad, probably Zatmar Rebbe, I'm not sure who this was, who wrote that the farmers in Eretz Yisrael who violate the Din of Shemitah are Dina Ka'akum. Why? Because Shnas HaShemitah is compared to Shabbos, Machal Shabbos, Beferesi, Dina Ka'akum. So he's Dina Ka'akum. So he said, well, are they off their Raka? He says, against the Mishnah. He says, against the Mishnah and Peres. It's utterly ridiculous, he writes. Then he has other fascinating things in the middle of that tshuva. Moshe has an opinion, Moshe has a very fascinating opinion about the Zman HaBiur. The din is, when there's no more, each fruit and vegetable has a different Shas HaBiur. All the Shas HaBiur is in the eighth year. So when there are no longer any carrots growing in the field, that's the Shas HaBiur. You're not allowed to eat the carrots that you have at home. No more potatoes growing, then you're not allowed to eat potatoes. And every, the badats in the Rabbanut, and everybody has charts. The charts all say the same thing. When is the Shas HaBiur for potatoes? When is the Shas HaBiur for tomatoes? When is the Shas HaBiur for carrots? Everything. So Moshe has a chiddush that since Be'esrig you go basa lekita, like Yerek, you go basa lekita. So he says, when is the Shas HaBiur for all vegetables? This is against all the charts in Eretz Yisrael. This truth is against all the charts in Eretz Yisrael. Nobody agrees with Ramosh. He said, the Shas HaBiur for all vegetables is Rosh Hashanah Matzoi Shviyas. Why? Because since you go basa lekita, so whatever you're going to pluck off the ground after Rosh Hashanah is not going to be Perish Shviyas. The lekita is koveya, whether it's Perish Shviyas. So you have tons of tomatoes and potatoes and vegetables growing on the ground. Those are not Perish Shviyas. They can't be Perish Shviyas by definition because the lekita is going to take place. They're still attached to the ground. So the lekita is going to take place after Shnas HaShmit, and the lekita and Shmit is covered that they have a din of perishes. So he says, the Shas HaBiur means, are there any perishvias? Are there any tomatoes of perishvias still growing on the ground? There aren't any. Because if I didn't do the lekita yet, so by definition, it's going to be perishminis, it's not going to be perishvias. So according to Rav Moshe, the Shas HaBiur for all vegetables, and for Esrog, also Basel Lekita, is Rosh Hashanah of Matzoi Shvias. Nobody agrees to that. So what do you do after the Shas HaBiur? So everything is also b'achila. So Moshe has a chiddush, next step of his chiddush. He says, no. The halacha says, after the Shas HaBiur, you mafke the peiros, put the peiros out in the street for 5 minutes, mafke it, and then you can take it back in. None of the poskim agree with that either. All the poskim agree with the Chazanish's reading of the Yerushalmi. You mafke the peiros, if you mafke the peiros before the Shas HaBiur, whenever the Shas HaBiur is, no one agrees with the Rav Moshe, the Shas HaBiur is Rosh Hashanah. Every fruit and vegetable has a difference. So if you mafka the peiros before the Shas HaBiur, and it was hefker on the day of the Shas HaBiur, then you recoin it back, so then it's muta b'achila. But if you had it in your possession on Rosh Hashanah, if you bought the esrog before, or the merchant had the esrog, someone had the esrog in his possession, when the Shas HaBiur came, according to Rav Moshe, it's Rosh Hashanah, then those peiros are going to be also b'achila l'yol avoid. It doesn't help to be mafka it later and take it back again. That's done to be mafka and take it back. That's if you mafka it before the Shas HaBiur. When the Shas HaBiur came, it didn't belong to anybody, so then you can take it back. So this tshuva of Rav Moshe is kula chiddush. He has a lot of chiddushim here. Then he has other chiddushim as well. It's kedai to read the tshuva. There is an issue. Ramesh talks about this also. There is an issue. The Gemara says one is not permitted to take perishvis. Mishnah, you say. You're not permitted to take perishvis into Chutz La'aretz. So how did they export all the Esroikim from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz? They violated an Avera. That's not the Argeshevt. That's the issue. That's the issue for the merchants. How do they export it? So Ramesh says they rely on those Rishonim. And that same Tshuva says they rely on those Rishonim and say that the prohibition to export perishvis is only if it's almanas la'ochla mechutz la'aretz. But we don't plan to eat the esrogim, we plan to use it for the mitzvah. So since it's not li'ochlam, so we didn't violate any yisrael. What do you do after the shmitas? What do you do after sukkahs is over? So usually you take the yisrael, you can throw it in the garbage. What are you going to do with the yisrael? So that's the shaila. So if it has kedushas perishvias, then you're not allowed to throw it in the garbage. There's a din li'ochla v'lo lehefsid. You have to use it for eating purposes. You're not allowed, let's say if you leave over, you eat a half an apple, you leave it over, so all year long, all 6 years long, you throw it in the garbage. What are you going to do? You're going to save all the half apples that I don't want to eat too much. I ate enough and that's all. Who am I going to give it to someone else who's going to want to eat my half an apple with my germs? So you throw it in the garbage. There's no baltas to throw it in the garbage. But perishvius, you're not allowed to throw out. You have to leave it. You don't have to put it in the freezer. You leave it out till it rots, and then you throw it in the garbage. You have to wait till it becomes nivsa b'achila. So what do you do with the Yesrik? So the Yesrik of Shvius, if you're concerned, they rely on their head to Mechira, so they assume Shalakum doesn't have Kedushas Perish. We don't have a Shasat Chak, so we really shouldn't rely on the Mechira, on the head to Mechira. So you should save the Yesrik till it gets spoiled. That can take a long time, till the Yesrik becomes Nivsa Bachila, and then throw it out. So the Shaila is that some people want to eat it, some people want to make jam out of it. So that's a Shaila. You're not supposed to export Perish Shvius to Chutz Lor Tamanos Liochloi. So maybe you have to send back the Esrogim to Eretz Yisrael, and they should make jam out of it. So that's every 7 years, a Matzoi Sukkis of Matzoi Shnas HaShmita, there's someone collecting everybody's Esrogim and bringing it back to Eretz Yisrael to wash them off and to cook them and to eat them there. There are some Rishonim who say like that. And Moshe doesn't get involved in this tshuva, he doesn't talk about that. Others discuss that topic. Is there an inyan to bring it back to Eretz Yisrael? Rav Soloveitchik was opposed to the Het Mechira. One Balabas told me that before he went to Eretz Yisrael, he asked the Rav, he went on Aliyah. So he asked the Rav, what should I do for Shemitah? So he says, the Rav asked me, what do you do for Pesach? Do you sell your chametz? So he said, this is exactly the same. So the Balabas tells me, what do you tell me that the Rav didn't hold from Het Mechira? He told me. So I told him, you're a Balabas. That's what he told you. You're not mechuyev to observe all of his chumras. Rav Soloveitchik himself said, the Rav was very kafuf to his father, so he said over that his father held that there's nothing to discuss about the Het Mechira, just it's not for sale. The din is that Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim. The Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim. We just learned it this year in Bava Kamma, the end of Perek Merubim. Originally, Eretz Yisrael was acquired by Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu died and went to Yitzchak Birusha. Yankov Avinu died, went to the Shvat and went down. Then they made a chalukah. When they made the chalukah, so the Gemara says, Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim. We assume Yerushalayim was not the private ownership, neither of Shevet Yehuda nor of Shevet Binyamin. They didn't own it, and therefore they don't have a right to sell it. The rest of Eretz Yisrael was Nischalka l'Shvatim, and then l'Mishpachas, and then l'Yechidim. So there's an institution of Mechiras Karka. There's an institution of Mechiras Metaltim. You can sell automobiles, you can sell televisions, and you can sell your house. But Eretz Yisrael, the part of Eretz Yisrael that belongs to Klal Yisrael, there is no parsha in the Torah that the Jews have the ability to sell. So Moshe Soloveitchik said that was only Bizman Bayis Rishon, there was a Chalukah L'Shvatim. When they came back in the beginning of Bayis Sheni, so the Beis Halevi quotes in the name Rab Chaim, he just pointed out, look, in Tanakh, they never made a Chalukah L'Shvatim, they never made a Chalukah L'Mishpachas, they never made a Chalukah L'Yechidim. So all of Eretz Yisrael had the status of Yerushalayim. It was never in a Chalukah L'Shvatim. So he says, Eretz Yisrael can't be sold. Forget about whether the Het Mechira works, it doesn't work, whether it's Darai Sadam. He says, there is no Mechira, you just can't sell Eretz Yisrael. Woo! There's in Gansen and Gansen. In my sefer in Eretz HaTzvi, I think they printed the wrong page. I wanted them to print page Resh Yud Beis, those who want to look it up. So I quote this, and I explain why most do not agree. I didn't want to quote it that Rav Soloveitchik said the name of his father, and I'm disagreeing. So I quote that an Adam Gadol said like that. So my other sefer, in Nefesh HaRav, I write that Ramosha Soloveitchik was the one who said this there. I don't disagree. Yeah, I just presented what he said. And in my sefer where I quoted, then I disagree. So I didn't say who said it. But this was Ramosha Soloveitchik. It's based on a Rambam. He had a passage in the Rambam that he interpreted like that. That That's on page 28 of the Mar Mekomis. I quote this from Ramosha Salvei. He held that there's nothing to discuss on the Het Mechir. Page Resh Yud Beis. Here, by mistake, they printed it as a different page. Rav Soloveitchik instructed Rabbi Ginnack that that the OU, we live in America, we don't have a Shas HaTrak, so he said the OU should not rely on Het HaMechira. They should assume that everything is Meshuma and there should be Choshish for the Rabbin and Tam. When it comes to an Esrig, we're buying an Esrig, so we may as well support the farmers in Eretz Yisrael. But as far as the vegetables and the fruits, he said the OU should not rely on the Het HaMechira. Those who live in Eretz Yisrael, they have a Shas HaTrak, so let them rely on whatever they rely. He didn't really hold from Het HaMechira in a big way. That was the shaila. If he would have become the chief rabbi, what would he have said in public? If this is what he told us in the shir and the yeshiva, that there's no mechira at all. There's nothing to discuss at all. So how could he possibly be the chief rabbi if he wouldn't hold from the Het HaMechira? Rav Moshe raises an issue in his tshuva, which is in the Mishnah, in the Mishnayis and Sukkah, that when you buy Peirush Shviyis, so the money is nitvas bigdushas perishvis. Perishvis are tofsim demeim. Like hegdushas tefis is domov. If you sell other visura hano, you sell basa b'chol, if you sell orla klakarim, the Mishnah says it's not tefis is domov. But hegdush and perishvis are tofsim demeim. So what do you mean tefis demeim? So the merchant who sells all the esrogim to the people, he's supposed to take that money, and he's supposed to buy food with that money and eat the food before the shasa biur of the esrogim, which according to Rav Moshe was already. It was Rosh Hashanah of Matzoy Shviz. So the Mishnah says, therefore, you're not permitted to purchase Perish Shviz from a person who's not medactic from an Amoritz. I know he's not going to be medactic in this. He's going to take the money, he's going to put it in the bank. He's not going to buy Peris and the money, the Kedushas, Perish Shviz, and the money should be Nitfas, and the Peris is going to eat the Peris before the Shas Abir. I know he's not going to do that. He's going to live on this money for the whole year long. So that's why the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to buy perish fees from an Amoritz. A moisim demay perish fees liam haoritz because of lifnei evil isita mirshal. So Rav Moshe talks about that in that tshuva as well. He has quite a few topics that he covers. So he says, there is no lifnei evil. Look, the fellow's relying on a het mechira. There are rabbanim to rely on. What if this is a famous Shara Melech? There's a machlekes if you're allowed to smoke cigarettes on Tisha B'Av. Is that considered like eating? Well, one case. There are many machlekes and many things. So if he holds it, it's mutter to smoke a cigarette, and I hold it, you're not allowed to smoke cigarettes. Tisha B'Av, he asks me, would I give him a cigarette? Am I in violation of lifnei evir? If I hold, you're not allowed to smoke any shayla like that, anything that there's a machlokes. So what's the din by Bisham and Bisul? So the din is, whenever there's a machlokes, and the other person has a legitimate opinion to rely on, so that's what the Shara Melech, and most of the Poskim hold, that there is no lifnei evir in such a situation. So that's what Rav Moshe says. You've got to tell me that the customers who buy the Esrogim are in violation of lifnei evir, because they're giving the May Perish Shviyas to an Amoritz who's not going to use it properly. They rely on the Het HaMechiras, according to their opinion that they're relying on. There is no Kedushas Perish Shviyas. So he says, we're not in violation of the lifnei evir. He doesn't consider that a problem. The Netziv writes in his Tshuvas, this is page 30 in the Mar Mekomis. So Tziv has on the first column a letter that he sent to Ab Bezna of New York. I don't know who it was. Who was the Ab Bezna of New York? Weiß ich nicht. So, I don't know. Not sure. So he writes his practice is, he says this problem, he wanted to buy an Esrig from Eretz Yisrael. But he's going to give the money, it's going to be Nitfas B'Kedushas Perish Shviyas, and the fellow who's going to use the money, he's not going to buy Paris and eat it before the Shas Habir. He's going to put the money in the bank, so what do you do? So the Netziv quotes the Gemara in the last Perek in Avodah Zarah, Daf Samach Beis, the beginning of the fifth Perek in Avodah Zarah, that Kedushas Perish Shviyas, are tofs in the name, only if it's Zetach Hazeh. He gives me the Esrig and I give him the cash right away. What if he gives me the Esrig and I tell him I want to buy it on credit and I'll pay you after Yontif? So he's going to trust the Netziv. The merchant, the Esrig merchant may not trust everybody, but he says he's going to trust me, the Netziv. So I tell him I'm going to pay you after Sukkot. I don't want to pay you now. So after Sukkot is over, he eats it, b'chutz la'aretz. He doesn't send it back there. It's the Netziv says he has it cooked and he eats it. After he eats it up, then when he gives the money, so that's the Gemara, that there's no Zet Tachazeh. So it's not Nitfas B'Kedushas Perish Shviyas. So he says that's how he solves the problem. Rav Moshe says, oh, so that's what the Netziv didn't have a checking account. That's what, if you look on page 31, he points out there is a tzaddik, Rabbi Yom Zilber, wrote a sefer, Bris Olam on Hilchas Shabbos. A little sefer, a little skinny little sefer. So people sent him letters, agreeing, disagreeing. So he published the sefer, Oz Nidberu Yirish HaMishloyeh. Then they sent him more letters, so he published Chelik Beis, Chelik Gimel, Chelik Dal. 19, I have 19 Chalokim, I think. I think there are more. That was 35 years ago I had 19 Chalokim. Maybe now the 150 Chalokim, I don't know. So he has in one of his, I think, Oz Nidberu, I think it's Chelik Dalid, if I'm not mistaken. It's over here. So he has in the middle of the page a letter from Aleph Yud Hey, some anonymous person. The letter had a signature, but he didn't want to put his name in. Rabbi Yamin Zilber didn't have, so he points out that when Rabbi Yamin Zilber wrote the din of Perish Vesa, a terms of name, he should have written based on the Chazon Ish that if you pay by check, then it's not Taifas Dhamma, but it's only if it's a Zet Tachazet. But if you're paying a check, means that you have a right to draw against my account. When I have my account, I have a right to draw against YU's account because they pay me salary. And what do they have? They have a right to draw against Mr. Jesselson's account because he gave a donation. And Jesselson has a right to draw against his customer's account. They have a right to draw against the other guy's account. But there's nothing there, Lamaisa. Everything is just on paper. It's all in Chalemus. If you go to the bank, you'll ask for the money they'll give you, but there's no specific money that's designated. So this is no Zetachazer. So that solves the whole problem of Shvista Feset Demand. Whenever you pay by check, the Chalal, there's no problem. That's what he says based on that Chazon Ish. It's interesting, on page 32 of the Marma Kaimis, Mark Shapiro from Scranton University published a collection of letters by Rabbi Chil Yaakov Weinberg. So on page Nun Tes, in the middle of a letter to Rav Unterman, who was the former chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, so he writes, V'ho'emes agid lahadras gono, the first beginning of that first paragraph on the page, that he sent a letter, years before he sent a letter to Chief Rabbi Herzog. He thinks that it's a shanda and a harpa that they should still continue with the Heta Mechira. He says, in the 1600s, so they had a couple of farmers that made a Mechira, a private Mechira. In the 1700s, the late 1800s, they had a couple of farmers, fine. Rav Kook, okay, but now you have a Medina. Now it's printed in the newspapers, the first page in the New York Times. They have a chief rabbi, he's selling the whole land of Israel to some Arab. And the people they make a joke out of the whole religion, and everybody says whenever there's a rabbinic will, there's a halachic way. You can always dray whatever you want. This brings tapi kursus. So he says it's hashanda nachapi, make a chuchet klul out of the whole religion. That's what he's tining against. He had an issue with mamzerim. He had a few mamzerim, and it was terrible. They couldn't get married. So Rav Unterman said maybe they should do like the Marsham said, on gedrei give a get and be mevatel a get and be metar mamzerim. So he said he thinks that that's terrible. We live in a generation you can't do these dreidlach. You're going to make the whole religion sound like a joke. You don't have the response. There is a beautiful sefer. I'm sure there is quite a few swarm like this. Singled out the four pages from the Sefer that are interesting halacha lemaisa for us. When we visit Eretz Yisrael in the middle of Shnas HaShmita, and they're going to be giving us Perish Shvi'is, so some people make a mistake thinking, oh, Perish Shvi'is arasa b'achila. It depends what it is. Svichem arasa b'achila. If it grows from the ground, it's arasa b'achila, tvua. But if it's fruits, vegetables are svichem. But if it's fruits that grow on a tree, not only is there no isra achila, it's a mitzvah to eat them. The Ramban has a disagreement with the Rambam in calculating the Taryag Mitzvah Satorah. So the Rambam thinks that Voice of Shabbos Oetz Lechem, Achilas Perish Shvi'is, is Farechent as one of the 613 Mitzvahs Aseh. So that's on page 35 of the Mar Mekaymas. Rabbi Chil Michal Tikachinsky wrote this Sefer on Shvi'is, and he gave it to different Rabbanim that they should write Ha'oris. He gave it to Rab Shmuel Salant, I think, who was his wife's grandfather or something. I forgot already how he's related. He gave it to Rav Kook. He got along with everybody. He gave it to Rav Chaim Berlin. He gave it to Maril Diskin. He gave it to Maril Diskin's son. And everybody gave Ha'oris, and he added on. Here and there, he added. Some of them gave Langa Marachas, and some of them gave Brief. So here on page 35 of the Mar Mekaymas, the second footnote on the bottom of the page is from Rav Kook. So he says, the Hadvar Matikim and Sanalta, it's a Dov Yodua, that according to the Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvahs, it's a mitzvah essay to eat the Perishvis, and it could even be that you should recite a bracha. You say, Bari Prihuetz, and then you say, Asher Kedushan Abbasos, Asman Alachilas Perishvis. He says, we don't say the bracha because we're not so convinced that the Ramban is right. The Ramban didn't count it as a mitzvah essay. But he says, according to the Ramban, that would constitute a mitzvah. You would probably recite a bracha. Then he has another ha'ara from Rav Kook. This is not the next page in the Sefer. This is a different page. On the next column, footnote number 4. So Rav Kook points out one of the dinim of perishes is Vayisur Shabbos Hartz Lahem Liochle Liochle V'Lo Lehepsid. You're not allowed to, if you have a bottle of wine from perishes, you're not allowed to pour it down the drain. So what do we do when you make havdalah? So a lot of people pour and they overflow and they throw it out and they extinguish the flame from the havdalah candle in the wine. So he said that's mamish lehepsid. So you shouldn't use wine of perishvias to make havdalah. Or he says arbekaisis. When we say the tzach hadash bacha, we spill over and then we throw that out in the garbage. You wash it out and it goes down the drain. So he says that's if you make kiddush and you spill the little wine accidentally, what can you do? But to pour in it, to fill up yayin shel shviyas lechatchila for arba kaisis, knowing that you're going to spill some of it out, that's a violation of liochla v'lo lehefsit. What else do we have here? On page 36 of the Maror Mekoymes, on the top of the page, I remember the last Shemitah, there's a fellow here on Friday afternoons when the people come out of the train station on 184th and Overlook Terrace. So there's a fellow who sells flowers, Lekavod Shabbos. The flowers are flown in from Eretz Yisrael, believe it or not. So I remember 7 years ago, he was selling Perishvis. There's some flowers that grew in Eretz Yisrael during Shnas HaShmita. So whoever thinks that there's a Kedusha is Perishvis on flowers, the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that there's Kedusha is Perishvis on flowers. So Taisus in the end of Bava Kama and of Kufala first at Kasha, how do you determine, let's say you grow trees, mahogany, in order to make furniture? You have lulavim. So the Mishnah says there is no Kedushas Perishvis on mahogany. There is no Kedushas Perishvis on lulavim. It's only Kedushas Perishvis on something that's hanoaso ubiura shove, that when you get hanoa from it, you use it up, like food, that you eat it up. Like flowers, where is the hanoaso ubiura shove? So Taisus is Mecharesh to explain the Mishnah. They have Belez bread, they don't have pshat. So Taisus says, when you smell the flowers, even though if you wouldn't smell the flowers, the fragrant smell would dissipate anyway, it would go away. But when you smell it, it's considered as if you're eating up the smell from the flowers, as if you're absorbing it into your body, as if you're consuming it. That's the word. It's considered as if you're consuming it. So that's called Hanasa Biura Shavah. So that's a Shaila. Bizman Hazeh, the flowers don't smell. Most the flowers that they sell, Lekavod Shabbos, they look nice, but they don't have any fragrant smell. So Rav Kaczynski has a chiddush that he writes on here on the top of page, on page 36 in the Maror Mekoymes, on the top of page Lamed Dalet in his Sefer. That's the chiddush that he writes. V'rodim v'shoshanim v'dushoyim, she'en lahem tamareach. But they planted in front of the houses that it should look pretty, lenoi. So he says, nirali is up to chiddush. He thinks that it doesn't have kedushas perishvis. So that's a shaila, but there were those who were machmes that during the Shnas HaShmita they wouldn't buy the flowers from the fellow who was selling it by the train station. There is an issue halacha lemaisa that comes up a lot. There are Arabs who live in Eretz Yisrael not had the mechira. There are Arabs who have farms in Eretz Yisrael. Not that the Jews sold the farms to the Arabs with the harame, there are goyim. So the what's the story with pears that grow besod shalakum? Do they have kedushas perishvis or not? So that was a big machlokes, the Beis Yosef and the Maharit. So it was mekubal in Eretz Yisrael that pears that grow besod shalakum, there's no kedushas perishvis. Here on page Mem Zayin in this sefer, the second column on page 36, on page Mem Zayin, Rav Kaczynski sefer. So he writes in Ois Gimel where the check is. That was a machlokes, the Beis Yosef and the Maharit, and it was mekubal in all of Eretz Yisrael that the Beis Yosef is the Mardas of Eretz Yisrael. Now it's ongenumen in Bnei Brak that the Chazanish is the Mardas of Bnei Brak, and he held like the Maharit. He held that the Beis Yosef was a Rishon. He was greater than everybody except for the Maharit. He thinks the Maharit was greater than the Beis Yosef. Okay, so in Bnei Brak they're machma. But it's usually assumed, not like the Chazon Ish, that in all of Eretz Yisrael, that's aside from the Bnei Brak area, they assume there's no Kedusha Peres Shviz, but Peres that grow Besor Shal Nochem. So what's the din? Peres that grow in Shnas HaShmitah, the are Hefker. That's a Shaila. Is it the farmer has a mitzvah to be mafkarit, or becomes Hefker automatically? That was also Machlekes, the Beis Yosef and the Maharit. The Beis Yosef said, it's a mitzvah on the farmer to be mafkar, and the Maharit tells that it's afkaita the market, becomes Hefker automatically. So it's usually assumed today that Peres that grow b'shusa akum do not become Hefker, like the Beis Yosef all the way, do not become Hefker, and do not have Kedushas Peres Shviz. Then it's further assumed that Peres Shviz are not chayv in Shumas Amayis, not a special din, not a separate din. One could have argued the point, but we don't pass like one could have said, there are rules and regulations. The first 2 years of the Shemitah Sake, Mafish Tumah Gedolah Ma'aseh Rishon Ma'aseh Sheni. Third year, Mafish Tumah Gedolah Ma'aseh Rishon Ma'aseh Rani. The fourth year and the fifth year is a repeat of the first and the second year. The sixth year is a repeat of the fifth, of the sixth year is a repeat of the third year. And the seventh year, there's no din of Afrosha, period. So even if it grows Besadu Shal Nachrim and it doesn't become Hefker, there ain't no din at all. You're not mafish anything. So that's not the accepted halacha. It's accepted from the days of the Beis Yosef. Whatever grows besara shalakum is not hefker, and is chayv in shumas amaisras. So the question is, so what in the world are you mafish? Are you mafish maisras sheni, mafish maisras rani? Which year is it? Which year is it? So many say, in principle, basically, after maisras rishon, you mafish maisras sheni. The exception to the rule is the third year and the sixth year. Instead of Maisa Sheni, Mafish Maisa Rani. But the principle basically is if it's not the third year, though the sixth year, then you're supposed to be Mafish Maisa Sheni. That's not the accepted opinion. Halacha L'maisa, the common practice is that you're Mafish Maisa Oni. In the Shnas HaShmita, if you have Paris, that group is Sod Shal Nachrim, there are Nachrim in Eretz Yisrael. Forget about Hetemachir, there are Nachrim who have fields in Eretz Yisrael. And their Peres do not become Hefker. And there is no Kedushas Peres Shviz. That's Mekubal all over Eretz Yisrael. So that's what he writes. And this Machloikas, he says, Ongenomen is that you mafrish maisa oni. Rav Kook has long tshuvas about this. The Mishnah has that in certain areas in the Beit Shan Valley, that whenever Mekadesh Kedushas Haaretz, because they knew from day number one it's going to be very difficult to observe Shemitah. Shemitah was always a problem. It's very difficult. So for this political consideration, for this reason, the difficulty of Shemitah, so when Ezra was Mekadesh Eretz Yisrael the second time around, he left out a big chunk, even though in the days of Ohel Mitzrayim they were Mekadesh, in the days of Ohel Bavod they were not Mekadesh. Why? Kedei sheyismachu aleihem aniyim b'shviz, that the anim should falozach, lismoch, that they're going to get Maisa Oni. So it says the Beferish, they're going to get Maisa Oni. Kedei sheyismachu with a samach, not to be happy, they should be lied that they're going to get Maisa Oni from there. So one could have said that that's a special takana, only this. So the poskim say, no, that's the common practice, that in Paris, that you have to be mafrish, trumas and maises, that good in shnas hashmitah, so you have to be mafrish maise running, even though it's a little strange. Yet we, this morning, I think you heard a shiur by video presentation from Rabbi Rimon in Eretz Yisrael. There was a big ad in the Jewish press that had everybody's signature on it, and all the people really signed on this. Dr. Lamb and Mr. Joel and Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein and all the rabbis from Yeshiva signed. This man is known to some of us. I didn't know him personally. I met him here, this Rabbi Rimon. He's in charge of this Job Katif. He's trying to raise $7 million. The $7 million, part of it is going to go to find people jobs, the people who are expelled from Gush Katif. And I think the bulk of the money is going to go to make these chamamot in the Shnas HaShmitah that they used to have in Gush Katif, and that I had the mechira on that Rav Al Yashib approved, because it wasn't Gidule Karka at all. It was Toldash Menah Karka. It was an Otsu Sheinu Nokuv. I'm not asking to give the whole $7 million. He's having matching funds. So give $3.5 million. Someone else will give the other $3.5 million. But you have to give him a lot of money. Then we have to support those who are going to observe the Shnas HaShmitah. They have the Keren HaShviyas. The Keren HaShviyas is interesting. From day number one, when they instituted the Keren HaShviyas, the end of the 1800s, the Gaboyim in charge were businessmen. You're going to have Rabbonim in charge of money, they're not going to know how to take care. So that most of the Gaboyim, they consult Rabbonim, most of the Gaboyim are businessmen, to make sure that no one is fooling them. They have to make sure that the guy's really observing Shviyas. A lot of and when they have a choice to either send the money to Poyalei Aguda Kibbutz, or a Freya kibbutz to have some non-religious Jews who observe Shnas HaShemitah. So they have as a policy from Shonim Kadmanias for over 100 years. They'll give it to the non-observing guy. Because the religious guy is going to keep Shvi's anyway, even if we don't give him the money. By hook or by crook, he'll find the money. The non-observing guy, if you're not going to give him a handout, he's not going to be able to, he's not going to observe Shvi. He doesn't keep kashrus. Doesn't keep anything else. So we have to give as much as possible to support these two major causes. So just to review, Shvi'is for us means to support those in Eretz Yisrael who are going to have a Hetem Mechira by the Chamamot. Shvi'is for us means we have to support those farmers, the Keren HaShvi'is, that began in the late 1800s. Then Shvi'is for us is relevant in Benegir to making a Pruzbul next summer, not this coming summer. Elul of Matzoi Shvi'is. Elul before Shvi'is is over. And we should try to avoid eating Perish Shvi'is that are relying on the Hetem Mechira. 7 years ago, there was one kibbutz that contacted Rabbi Ginnack from the OU. I happened to be in Eretz Yisrael at the same time for a different purpose. There was a conference of Rabbi Yerusi of the Dayanim, so I was speaking there. So that people from Rabbi, what's his name, Wintman from Tenuva, met Rabbi Ginnack with me in the middle of that conference. So they were begging that the OU should buy, relying on the Hetem Mechira. Rav Soloveitchik got gesagt that we shouldn't rely on the Hetem Mechira because for us it's not a Shas HaTchak. But there is, last time, 7 years ago, they had a kibbutz that if we're not going to buy their merchandise, they won't. So they're going to lose all their customers. If we're not going to buy Shas HaShemitah, so the stores in America will buy from another place. And why should they go back to buy from this kibbutz after the Shas HaShemitah is over? So we decided at that time that it's not fair that we shouldn't rely on the Hetem Mechira. It's their Shas HaTchak. We're causing them to have their Shas HaTchak. So at that time, they relied on the Hetem Mechira for some insignificant vegetable or another that was used in, I don't even know what, some pickling companies or something, because otherwise they were going to go broke, they were afraid. And then the OU never heard the end of the story. People sent in letters, so nasty, how did you rely on Hetem Mechira? How did you fool us into relying? Hardly anybody said, I think this time the OU is not going to rely on any Hetem Mechira, because Rabbi Soloveitchik told them not to. Okay. When you go to Eretz Yisrael to visit during Shnas HaShemitah, we do not say a bracha when we eat the Perish Shvi'is, because we're not so convinced that the din should be like the Ramban. And one should be careful, look, if you're only going there temporarily, you're not going to live there kavua, so it's not a Shas HaTchak for us. We should try to get such a hashgacha that avoids supporting the Palestinians, Yimach Shema Mezichram, and avoids using the Hetem Mechira as well. Thank you very much.